Let's read together Jeremiah chapter 12. In this chapter, we have the conclusion of Jeremiah's fourth sermon to the people of Judah concerning the coming judgment of God upon Judah at the hands of the Babylonians under Nebuchadnezzar. This fourth sermon, remember, is the message concerning the broken covenant. Let's begin by reading the first six verses. Righteous are you, O Lord, when I plead with you. Let me talk with you about your judgments. Why does the way of the wicked prosper? Why are those happy who deal so treacherously? You have planted them. Yes, they have taken root. They grow. Yes, they bear fruit. You are near in their mouth, but far from their mind. But you, O Lord, know me. You have seen me, and you have tested my heart toward you. Pull them out like sheep for the slaughter, and prepare them for the day of slaughter. How long will the land mourn, and the herbs of every field wither? The beasts and birds are consumed for the wickedness of those who dwell there, because they said, he will not see our fine land. If you have run with the footmen, and they have wearied you, then how can you contend with horses? And if in the land of peace, in which you trusted, they wearied you, then how will you do in the floodplain or thicket of the Jordan? For even your brothers, the house of your father, even they have dealt treacherously with you. Yes, they are called a multitude after you. Do not believe them, even though they speak smooth words to you. Let's begin our study of Jeremiah chapter 12 with some background notes. We saw that in Jeremiah chapter 11, the prophet began a sermon to Judah concerning the broken covenant, that is, the broken Mosaic covenant. In the last section of Jeremiah chapter 11, namely verses 18 through 23, Jeremiah's broken covenant sermon was interrupted by a report and explanation of a plot against Jeremiah's life. God not only revealed this threat to Jeremiah, but gave him encouragement by telling Jeremiah not to worry, because God himself would deal with these men. Now, this interruption of Jeremiah's broken covenant sermon continues on for the first six verses of chapter 12, the verses that we just read. And then, beginning with verse 7 and continuing through the rest of the chapter, we have the conclusion of Jeremiah's sermon concerning the broken covenant. In these first six verses of chapter 12, Jeremiah asks the Lord the age-old question about the wicked. Even though the Lord was going to deal with these evildoers, such as the men of Anathoth, why had they been permitted to prosper in the first place? Why does it seem that the wicked always seem to prosper, much more than the righteous? Now, have you ever asked that question? What's the answer here, anyway? Well, that brings us to our doctrinal point for these first six verses of the chapter. God does not fully answer the age-old question about the wicked. God does not fully answer the age-old question about the wicked. We see the age-old question about the wicked in verse 1. Righteous are you, O Lord, when I plead with you. Let me talk with you about your judgments. Why does the way of the wicked prosper? Why are those happy who deal so treacherously? Jeremiah knew that God was righteous. Then how come he allowed the wicked to prosper and to be at ease? We see in verse 2 that the Lord even allows the wicked to become established and bear fruit. Not spiritual fruit, of course. The idea is that the wicked prosper like fruit trees, even though they only give token acknowledgement of God. Verse 2, you have planted them. Yes, they have taken root. They grow. Yes, they bear fruit. You are near in their mouth, but far from their mind. Meanwhile, says Jeremiah in verse 3, you know my heart is right toward you, Lord. The just thing for you to do, Lord, would be to drag the wicked away to destruction and leave the righteous in the land. As it is, Lord, the righteous continue to suffer in the land, and the wicked continue to think they can hide their sins. Verse 4. Now, what's the answer to this age-old question as to why the wicked are allowed to prosper in light of God's righteousness? Answer: the question is not fully answered here or anywhere else in Scripture. When Habakkuk, a contemporary of Jeremiah, asked essentially the same question, The Lord told him that conditions would get even worse, but in the end, the wicked would be judged. In the meantime, the just shall live by faith. That is, we must trust in the sovereign wisdom and righteousness of God, even though we don't have the full answer as to why the Lord allows the wicked to prosper at this present time. Notice how the Lord answers Jeremiah in verse 5. If you have run with the footmen, and they have wearied you, then how can you contend with horses? And if in the land of peace, that is, a peaceful environment in which you trusted, they wearied you, then how will you do in the floodplain or thicket of the Jordan, that is, a subtropical jungle with wild animals, etc.? In other words, says the Lord, Jeremiah, things are going to get worse and not better. And you will have more questions about why I allow evil at the present time. Even your own relatives will talk behind your back and betray you. Verse 6. So we see that God does not give Jeremiah a full answer as to why he allows the wicked to prosper, or why he allows any form of evil to exist at the present time. Now, the Bible does give answers to this question, but not the full answer. One answer is God's common grace to all people. I'm reading from Matthew chapter 5, verse 45. God makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. Another part of the answer is that while God is not the source of evil, he can use evil to accomplish his sovereign plans and purposes. In Psalm 76 and verse 10, we read, "Surely the wrath of man shall praise you." Psalm 76, 10. And of course, we know from Scripture that the wicked will not prosper forever. All evil will ultimately be removed. But in the meantime, we must trust in the sovereign wisdom and righteousness of God, because at the present time, God does not fully answer the age-old question about the wicked. Doctrinal point number 2. God does fully answer the age-old question about Israel. God does fully answer the age-old question about Israel. Verses 7 through 17. "I have forsaken my house, I have left my heritage. I have given the dearly beloved of my soul into the hand of her enemies. My heritage is to me like a lion in the forest. It cries out against me. Therefore, I have hated it. My heritage is to me like a speckled vulture. The vultures all around are against her. Come, assemble all the beasts of the field. Bring them to devour. Many rulers have destroyed my vineyard. They have trodden my portion underfoot. They have made my pleasant portion a desolate wilderness. They have made it desolate. Desolate, it mourns to me. The whole land is made desolate because no one takes it to heart. The plunders have come on all the desolate heights in the wilderness. For the sword of the Lord shall devour from one end of the land to the other end of the land. No flesh shall have peace. They have sown wheat, but reap thorns. They have put themselves to pain, but do not profit. But be ashamed of your harvest because of the fierce anger of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, against all my evil neighbors who touch the inheritance which I have caused my people Israel to inherit, behold, I will pluck them out of their land and pluck out the house of Judah from among them. Then it shall be, after I have plucked them out, that I will return and have compassion on them and bring them back, everyone to his heritage and everyone to his land. And it shall be, if they will learn carefully the ways of my people, to swear by my name, as the Lord lives, as they taught my people to swear by Baal, then they shall be established in the midst of my people. But if they do not obey, I will utterly pluck up and destroy that nation, says the Lord." These verses, along with the rest of Scripture, clearly answer the age-old questions that have been raised about the nation of Israel. Is God finished with Israel? Answer, no. Is the church the new Israel? Answer, no. We see in these verses that God would have to let his people reap what they had sown, because they had broken the covenant. The Lord would have to abandon and forsake and hate, that is, reject his beloved inheritance, verses 7 and 8. As a speckled vulture becomes the target of other birds of prey and wild beasts, so Israel would be devoured by the foreign nations, verse 9. The unrighteous rulers of Israel were like careless shepherds who had trampled through vineyards and fields and left a desolate nation. Verses 10 and 11. The sword of the Lord, namely the Babylonian armies, would be wielded against Israel because of the anger of the Lord. Verses 12 and 13. And all the surrounding pagan nations that had attacked Judah would be uprooted as well as Israel. Verse 14. But now comes the good news in verses 15 through 17. Not only would Israel be restored, but the other ancient nations would be restored as well. Let's just read those verses once again, verses 15 through 17. Then it shall be, after I have plucked them out, that I will return and have compassion on them and bring them back, everyone to his inheritance and everyone to his land. And it shall be, if they will learn carefully the ways of my people, to swear by my name, as the Lord lives, as they taught my people to swear by Baal, then they shall be established in the midst of my people. But if they do not obey, I will utterly pluck up and destroy that nation, says the Lord. Now this prophecy was partially fulfilled when the Jews returned from their 70-year Babylonian captivity. We know that under the Edict of Cyrus in 539 BC, other captive nations were permitted to return to their homelands as well as Israel. But verses 15 and 16 will be ultimately fulfilled with the return of the Lord and the establishment of his earthly millennial kingdom. Then Israel will be restored not only as a secular nation in their ancient homeland as they are today, but they will be spiritually restored to the Lord as well. And the other ancient nations will also be restored and will be blessed as long as they recognize the state of Israel and the God of Israel. See more about these conditions of our Lord's future earthly kingdom in Zechariah chapter 14. God does fully answer the age-old question about Israel. Practical application from Jeremiah chapter 12. Trust the Lord with your hard, unanswered questions. Trust the Lord with your hard, unanswered questions. We've seen in this chapter that Jeremiah had an unanswered question about why the wicked prosper more than the righteous. Jeremiah did the right thing. He brought the question to the Lord. And when the Lord did not fully answer the question, he continued to trust the Lord. He learned, as Habakkuk did, that the just shall walk by faith, even when there are hard, unanswered questions. We should do the same. The Lord may give us some insight, but not always the full answer. Don't lose heart and don't lose faith. Continue to trust the Lord with your hard, unanswered questions.